So from a very young age, I think most of us are familiar with the idea of praying to God, asking God for what we need. And it's a very good practice, a very good habit to have, to come to the Lord with our needs. That's a good thing. It's good that as his children, as God the Father's children, we learn to come to him with our needs. Similarly, as children of our biological parents, it's good that we trust that our biological parents will take care of us and that we trust them enough to bring to them our needs, our intentions, our hunger, our cold, or whatever it is. So it's good that we trust the Lord to act. What's interesting, though, as we get a little older and our intentions become a little bigger, it's not to limit God, but it's often not possible for God to answer the prayer immediately, right? Because certain things also might depend on other people. Say, for example, I want to get married, okay? So now it doesn't just depend on God saying, okay, you're married. It depends on another person, preferably a human being, knowing you and loving you in return, which again doesn't have anything to do with God. God has created them, but they're still free to accept or reject or love or reciprocate or not. So often the God reacting, God responding to a prayer, the time frame for that doesn't depend on him. It doesn't necessarily depend on you either. So basically, when we pray for certain things, say we're praying for healing, say you're praying to graduate well from a certain college course, well, that's going to happen in September. Like, I mean, it can't happen today. Say you're praying for, okay, you could pray for a miraculous healing, which could in theory happen today, or it could also happen through, you know, the work of surgeons and doctors and so on and so forth, which might take a year or two of treatment, and then you'll come through. So sometimes when we pray for something, the response, God's response, God's reaction, God does act immediately. He does. He promises us that. But we don't necessarily get what we want immediately. And there are occasions where we won't get what we ask for at all. If what I'm asking for isn't good for me, even like I'm just in contact with someone there recently who her intention for the last 4 or 5 years has been, you know, to get married, get married, get married, get married, get married, get married, get married. And now recently she met a lovely religious community and she's suddenly going, I think I'd like to join them. They're fantastic. I think I'll go do a come and see. So I don't know what the rest of that story will be, but it may well be she becomes a sister. So after praying for years for marriage, she may end up becoming a sister. Who knows? Who knows? Point being, though, that like when the Lord doesn't act, when the Lord doesn't seem to act, behind the scenes, he's still acting. He's still working. He is working on the hearts of the other people involved in this situation or in this intention. Or what I'm asking for isn't right for me at the moment. The reason I'm saying this is because we have a very impressive reading from the book of Daniel today. And there's one particular line in it which really strikes me. Often, again, when we hear the whole reading, the whole story beginning to end of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar because they won't adore his statue, understandably. They won't fall into idolatry, so he threatens them with death, and they say, okay, well, if that's the way it is, fine, kill us. Like, their courage is phenomenal. So he threatens them, he reminds them, he says, if you refuse to worship the statue that I have erected, you must be thrown straight away into the burning fiery furnace. And where is the God that could save you from my power? Where is the God that could save you from my power? So he's really being provocative towards their God, towards our God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Your question hardly requires an answer." I love it, right? Your question hardly requires an answer. If our God, the one we serve, is able to save us from the burning fiery furnace and from your power, O King, he will save us. This is the bit that strikes me, though. And even if he does not. And even if he does not. So even if God does not save us from this furnace and from death, then you must know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the statue that you have erected. Now that's faith. So, Lord, I believe that the Lord can save me from this situation, from this fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, I'll still love him, I'll still serve him, I'll still obey him, even if he doesn't give me what I've asked for. Even like in this situation, like this is a fairly tragic, horrific, gruesome torture. What a way to go. And then they make this prayer. Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely infuriated. He asks his servants, his slaves, to make the fire even hotter, so much so that those throwing the fuel into the fire are consumed by the fire. So says, I think there's a slightly shorter version in our reading today, but the fuller version describes how those casting fuel onto the fire are burned up. Okay? So, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are led into the fire, and still God hasn't intervened. And they're cast into the fire, and they're not dead. But they're in the fire. They're in the furnace. But they're not dying. They're not being consumed. They're not being burned up. And Nebuchadnezzar sprang to his feet and just sees, what? Did we not cast these men into the fire? How are they walking around inside it? And how is it that we see a fourth person, one who looks like the son of the gods? So, you think of your own intentions and prayers and what you have on your heart, and the deep desires of your heart, the desires with which the Lord, many of these desires the Lord has placed in your heart, these holy, wholesome desires, the Lord has placed them in your heart. And those desires which are not being answered or have not been answered in recent years, what do we do with them? Just as I was reading this morning, I was reminded of Psalm 12, 13, depending on your version. And what's beautiful about the Psalms is the Psalms are often very, very honest. They really describe the human condition, like, and sometimes they really delve into this, the loss and the lament and the almost desperation that the psalmist finds himself in. So I'll read the first two stanzas, and then the last stanza really tidies it all up, really answers it all. But it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face? How long must I bear grief in my soul, this sorrow in my heart, day and night? How long shall my enemy prevail? Look at me, answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I fall asleep in death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed, lest my foes rejoice to see my fall." Okay, so this is describing that darkness, that emptiness, that loss, grief, pain that the psalmist finds himself in. Okay, so, but what's he doing? Even in that, what's he doing? Is he blaming God? Is he cursing God? No, even in this, he's calling out to God. Now he's describing that this is how I feel, and I don't feel carried here. I don't feel elated. I don't feel like I'm, you know, on a cloud and skipping through fields of poppies. I mean, this, whatever they're going through, this is horrible. But in that pain and that loss, they're calling out to God, which in itself is an act of trust. The next stanza then continues. "As for me, I trust in your merciful love. Let my heart rejoice in your saving help. Let me sing to you, Lord, for your goodness to me. Sing psalms to your name, O Lord Most High." In our journey with the Lord, there will be occasions where our prayers are answered practically immediately. There'll be occasions where we see miracles. Thank God we do. We do. Every little child, every little birth, maybe even healing, there's all sorts of miracles that surround us. But there are other situations that might last a lot longer, other illnesses or defects that we carry, or in our personalities or in our bodies or whatever it may be, other situations that we would love would just change. And maybe after years they still haven't. But as we've said before, the Lord says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. This is his promise. So how do we understand that? We've said this before, but I think it is important to repeat. Whenever we pray to the Lord, we don't necessarily get exactly the thing we asked for. When we pray to the Lord, we always get him. We always get him. When I'm praying to the Lord, I'm always now in touch and in contact and deepening my relationship with the only one who can answer the deepest desires of my heart, not just here, but also for all eternity. So whenever we pray, whenever we ask, whenever we knock, whenever we seek, we will find the Lord. We will find the Lord. And in doing so, we can rejoice with our psalmist, who also experienced that kind of loss and emptiness and sadness. As for me, I trust in your merciful love. Let my heart rejoice in your saving help. Amen.